But online is Dr. Faisal Suleiman from SAMNet. And although his company, he's had to withdraw from the Oman Accord, we are going to ask him to give a view on how do we respond to the Malmesbury incident, also in light of what happened at Verulam. Dr. Faisal Suleiman, sorry to keep you waiting so long. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for the opportunity. And now it was good to hear that summary once again. Firstly, I think we have to express our condolences to the deceased. And of course, and we pray for the speedy recovery of those injured and the community affected. Shafiq, in as much as I know, people will be happy, not happy, but certainly the immediate reaction is good that the perpetrator was of course killed. The fact is, the problem with this is that unless police are able to you know, look at him and investigate him and go back, the fact that he's killed is we may never know the motive for this. As they say, dead men tell no tales. And this is again problematic, because it then leaves the scope for so much speculation and theories and rumor mongering, and then of course the opportunity for more interference and fitna and third force activities and everything else. So in as much as obviously one wanted the perpetrator caught, perhaps it would have been better if he was injured so that he could be interrogated, you know, and we have the same dilemma with what has happened in Ottawa. The perpetrators haven't been caught, and the two surviving victims, to date, we don't know that they've actually, you know, enlightened the police as to exactly what happened and who they think was responsible. And therefore, you know, one's going to see speculation. Obviously, there's going to be now, you know, aspersions about infighting. If I give examples, you know, I probably did about 30 interviews from all over the world after the Shia mosque attack. And the only angle the media were interested in was ISIS infighting, extremism, etc. And we still don't know really what were the cause and the motives behind that attack in Ottawa and Verulam. Similarly, there was a little brawl outside the mosque in Ramadan in Durban here, a little fisticuff between some young men. And again, the first thing the media, I did a few interviews with the media, and the only thing that they kept on trying to push was the fact that this was infighting in the Muslim community, and this was just related again to Sunni Shia conflict. Now, most of these interviews, I doubt will see the print or even be broadcast on radio, because I don't think the people got the angle they were looking for or interested in. And I think it, as MJC has issued, you read out the statement, you know, that let's wait for the facts, let's wait for the MJC or the imamate of that mosque to issue a proper statement, and of course for the police investigation before we start speculating and just adding a dimension to you know, something that may not be there.
And Dr. Faisal, before we conclude, SAMNet had to withdraw from the Cape Accord. Yes. How do you read this? How do you read the pressure that was put upon certain organizations? Some people feel this pressure very important. And, I mean, what is your take on all of this?
I think you must then allow me to express, I know you probably pressed for time, but you know, to explain fully. First of all, I think the takfirism that came out from certain quarters is bold, and there's no other way to describe it. I think it must be rejected with contempt. So that is the first thing. The reason we withdrew is because it was quite clear that this accord, for all its well-intentioned purposes and noble that they are, or were or are, the accord is dead in its present form. What it has given is a bandwagon. It's been usurped by Farkramtas for moral legitimacy. It's given him a cause to reclaim space in the Muslim community with this vitriol and attack and slander. And I think we felt it was the fact that it is for practical purposes dead, serving no purposes, a drain on our resources responding to it for something that is not going to go anywhere. And why give? You know, it's for example, if I can use it as an analogy, now that Zuma has gone and the ANC has taken up the land issue, there's nothing for the EFF to shout about. And
all
I
right.
think this court has given those that right wing something to claim moral legitimacy and defenders of the dean, etc. And seeing that it's going nowhere, we thought we'd rather withdraw, focus our energies. We have an election coming up. We have all of this now. It means work for us on our limited resources. That constituency, you know, people have been accused of bowing in to funding. That constituency that are the hate mongers, Stone has never funded SAMNet. We scrounge around monthly. The community doesn't pay for advocacy, doesn't give gifts for charity and social welfare, not for advocacy. Don't attend SAMNet meetings or functions, and I doubt this constituency ever will. So it is not a constituency that we were chasing or indebted to, that we had to withdraw due to their bullying, but or attempted bullying. But like I said, because we see this accord going nowhere, I think people have to re-strategize, re-look at. We know the game now that the end game or the game plan of these people has been exposed. I think the smart move to do is to now know that one knows the end game is to re-strategize. And you know, for the drafters, obviously, if it doesn't, the hate monging doesn't come from the people who signed that accord. It comes, you know, the people who can control the hate, and on both sides are the theological organizations, the ulama bodies. And if accord doesn't start with them, and they don't sign on to it, or define the frames, frame the discussion, then it's going nowhere, because your signatories like ourselves and Sanders and all the others aren't the source of the discord. So we think, you know, perhaps the strategy is for the ulama bodies, whether they sign another accord or not. Because I know one thing, Shashweek, as a journalist, you will understand a few years ago when the ANC said they're going to regulate the media because the media aren't keeping their house in order. Of course, there were political motives behind that. But the Muslim community got to seriously think that if we don't regulate ourselves and if we don't put our house in order, there are people out there just waiting to introduce laws, just waiting to push the government to introduce laws to regulate us. So I think the community has to seriously reflect on this, and especially the theological bodies who are essentially then become the voice of the community, people who control the radio stations and the pulpits, and the lectures and all of these things, the orators, the istimas, where mass distribution of opinions takes place. If you don't get your house in order, do not cry when somebody else decides to regulate you.
Dr. Faisal Suleiman, Chairperson, South African Muslim Network, SAMNet, thanks for chatting to us. After this, we're going to be talking to Ambassador Ibrahim Rasool. We're hoping to get comment from police on the scene. And, of course, we started off today's show by reading out the philosophy of the Aman message, which I think just personally applies quite importantly to today's events.
M Stereo.
In the fast lane, driving you this Ramadan.
And welcome back to the Fast Lane. A very sad ending to the Fast Lane show for this Ramadan. In the early hours of the morning and 3 a.m., according to police reports, an unknown man attacked people performing itikaf in the Malmesbury Mosque. Three have now passed on, including the attacker, who has been identified as being Somali. But before people start criticizing Somalis, let me just give you this information. According to sources, and that's all I'm going to say, and this is very reliable information, the Somali community say that this person arrived in Bellville about a week ago, and that nobody in the Somali community knows exactly who this person is or was who conducted that attack in the mosque, and the Somali community dissociates itself and from what happened and offers its condolences. I also read out the Aman message earlier on this morning in terms of the Cape Accord. And the 3 points of the Amman message, just to remind everybody, the Amman message recognizes the validity of all madhahib, legal schools, the Sunni, Shia, and Ibadi schools of Islamic thought. It recognizes Ash'arism, Sufism, true Salafi thought, and has a precise definition of who is Muslim. And significantly, it forbids takfir, and it also sets standards for issuing fatawa. But online, to give comment to some very fast-moving events, and of course, issues surrounding the Cape Accord, is Ambassador Ibrahim Rasool. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much. And I start with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From Allah do we come, and to Allah we are returning. Thank you very much, Shafiq.
Now, Ambassador, how do we understand all of this, if we can, drama surrounding the Cape Accord, and then we wake up this morning for suhoor only to hear of yet another dastardly deed being committed in one of our masajid?
Shafiq, in giving condolences to the family of those who have been lost, in wishing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in the highest place in Jannah and reward the iktikaf that was so tragically ended, we are saying that this is the kind of conclusion, the logical conclusion, when madness is let loose in our community. Our blood becomes halal to anyone. Those who have internal problems with us, as well as Islamophobes from outside who may constitute a third force, that whoever may be behind this, they believe that they have a halal stamp from us, that this is how we deal with each other. If we don't like that group, we can kill them. If we don't like this group, we can kill them. And therefore, it becomes a license for anyone who has problems with us, whether internal problems or external problems. And we must pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove this madness from us, because the Amman Declaration, as well as the Cape Accord, is an attempt to arrest the intolerance, the takfirism, and all of those kind of things that is besetting the Ummah, and that allows internal rivalry and external enmity to find ways to make our blood halal for them. That, I think, is the core of what we stand for at this moment.
And Ambassador Rasool, in terms of the Cape Accord, would you agree that the Cape Accord in no way intends to replace existing ulama or existing ulama bodies? Because there does seem to be an impression among certain ulama bodies, maybe not locally, but in other parts of our country, they seem to think that the Cape Accord wants to replace what they're doing.
No, how can we want to replace the ulama? We are not a constituted body. We are only signatories to a declaration that says, let us not do harm to each other. Let us tolerate each other and embrace each other. Let us be different from each other. Let us even disagree with each other. But let us not move over to the instruments of takfirism, where we declare each other kafir, where we declare each other out of the fold, and where we make each other's blood halal for any opportunist to act upon that. That really is, in essence, an anti-extremism message that the Cape Accord stands for. Yesterday, I was so proud of the Muslim Judicial Council when they issued a statement, despite not being signatories to the Cape Accord, they issued a defense of the lives and the honor and the Islam of those who signed the Cape Accord. If you have ulama like that, you can be proud of them. There is no reason to replace them. But Shafiq, every generation has its moment of decision. My generation in the 1980s had to decide, are Muslims part of the anti-apartheid struggle or not? And if we had waited for complete harmony and unanimity about that decision, Muslims may have missed the boat, and a few of us took the decision to enter the liberation struggle, to enter the interfaith struggle on the side of the anti-apartheid forces. And alhamdulillah, we have our fingerprints and our aspirations written all over the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. I believe that this current generation's moment of decision is whether we are going to open the South African Muslims, and particularly the Cape Town Muslim community, to takfirism, to extremism, to intra-Muslim hostility and killings, as we are beginning to witness now. And that is where a few people take the lead, and they say, this is just our understanding and response to a situation of growing madness. The Cape Accord is not a response to Shias. It may include the protection of the Shia right to practice. But already when I came back from the United States, there were some people who were saying that Maulud is not the right thing to do. There were some people who were questioning whether you stand in Salawat. There were some people who were saying you can't say Merry Christmas or Happy Diwali to Christians and Hindus respectively. There were some people who were saying you can't marry across Madayib, and so forth and so forth. This was already the seeds of what we were beginning to see, and this was the atmosphere that the Cape Accord was responding to. It was given emphasis when the Verulam killings happened, and then we knew we needed to act urgently, because if we don't stop what happened in Verulam, it will go elsewhere. And so we don't know the motive of Malmesbury, but we do know the methodology of Malmesbury. It is a copycat methodology of what was done to Shias in Verulam was now done to the Musallis of Malmesbury. And if we don't stop it now, we will have other masajid where we will stand at the gravesites, and we will then have to make the dua on every Muslim who passes, because they are killed by those who may not have liked the length of the beard of the imam, or the fact that the imam's pants wasn't rolled up high enough, or the fact that the imam made a dua after salah, or the fact that the imam stood in salawat, and all of those kind of things. If we don't draw a line in the sand now, and this is what the Cape Accord says, let's draw a line in the sand now, let's thrash out the ethics of our disagreement, and let us rather enter into engagement with each other. We are not here to replace. We are here to enhance the conduct of Muslims in a time of danger and a time of passage.
Ambassador Ibrahim Rasool, shukran for chatting to us, and of course, amidst all the sadness, with sort of tears in our eyes, we wish all each other Eid Mubarak. Shukran for chatting to us.
Eid Mubarak to all the listeners, and may the sadness be overflowed by the joy of Eid, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam to that. And still on the topic of South African Muslim Network and South African National Zakat Fund, SANZAF's withdrawing from the Cape Accord. Online is Shokut Faki, national person for SANZAF, and of course today the issue has become far, far bigger than the Cape Accord. Shokut Faki, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shafiq, to you and to the listeners.
It's a very sad day, isn't it, that we have to sit and talk about the topics that we do when organizations like yourself, like SANNET, OCAF, and all the other organizations have done such good work and still have to do the work that they do.
Indeed, indeed, Shafiq. You know, it's a very sad day for the Muslim Ummah, for the community, and for the people around. I mean, if you just listen to what just happened in Malmesbury, it is really sad. Our eyes are full of tears for two reasons, for what's happened and this Mubarak month that will be leading us, inshallah, today.
I mean to all of that. Now, Mr. Faki, SANZAF found itself in a very difficult position after endorsing the Cape Accord. And Ambassador Ibrahim Rasool, previous to you coming on air, he has explained the aims and objectives of the Cape Accord, and he emphasized that the Cape Accord was never there to replace the ulama. It was never there to replace anything. It was there to try and enhance dignity and accord in the community. But unfortunately, other realities prevailed, and SANZAF and SAMNET had to withdraw from the Cape Accord.
That is true. Let me also just share with you, Shafiq, and the listeners, you know, we endorsed that accord on the principle of unity and tolerance, which you know, we saw in the actual document, in the actual Cape Accord. We did so with good intention, and we did so on the basis that 15 other organizations also endorsed the Cape Accord. We did so with good intention and the spirit of what we read in the Cape Accord. Unfortunately, and as has been stated, you know, the Cape Accord not the Cape Accord itself, but the opposite in actual fact, has transpired. In fact, as a result of endorsements on that Cape Accord, there's been so much of disunity, there's so much of hate speech and other things that's taken place. And SANZAF has been singularly targeted as one of the primary endorsees, or the endorsees of that Cape Accord, has been singled out and has been targeted, notwithstanding the 43 years of good work that we've done to the community in the past. But, you know, Allah knows best. Allah knows best. I just say that it is a sad day, and a sad state of affairs in our ummah that is so divided, showing no tolerance, no patience. And there are so many examples today, Shafiq, that that one can learn from, relating to tolerance, unity, as was demonstrated by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Indeed. And a final question, Mr. Faki. Obviously, SANZAF has done what it feels in its best interest. It's a completely trusted organization. So for SANZAF, it's basically carry on doing the good work. And of course, by just being there and by empowering people, SANZAF is also actually bringing people together.
I would like to believe so. You know, we've done this out of good intention. We want to focus on our core activity, and that is to go and look at the plight and the of the needy and the poor, and make sure that we use the Zakah fund that is entrusted to us to be able to relieve poverty and do whatever we need to do from an empowerment point of view. Allah knows best, and we know that our intentions is clear, and we've subscribed to that principle from the day we were established 43 years ago.
Shawkat Faki, national person, SANZAF. Shukran for talking to us, and from Voice of the Cape to everyone.
Can I just make one comment? On behalf of SANZAF, I'd like to wish all our listeners and you and all our listeners Eid Mubarak on this, that we will be celebrating shortly, inshallah.
Inshallah. In fact, you beat me to the gun I was hoping to wish you first, but everything of the best, Mr. Shawkat Faki, and everything of the best, everybody at SANZAF.
Jazakallah khair.